Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, October 4th. Today we're reading the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, so it's a very short passage that we're going to read today. So I'd like to open our time of prayer with the morning prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Blessed are you, sovereign God, creator of all. To you be glory and praise forever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image. And in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us. Let the light of your love always shine in our hearts. Your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 6 in the New International Version. I'm going to read verses 5 through 15, but you may remember that Matthew 6 is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and he has been talking about giving to the needy, and then he's going to talk about prayer, and then he'll follow it up with talking about fasting and treasures in heaven. There are three chapters of Jesus just instructing the people on what it means to live lives of gratitude to God. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. For the past week, I've been thinking about the phrase, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I was confused on how God or why God would lead us into temptation. So I went to a little volume called Praying the Lord's Prayer by J.I. Packer. And I thought I just might read some of the chapter on temptation for us today. The thought that God may lead Christians into temptation, as the clause assumes, has puzzled and shocked many people. Things grow clearer, however, once we see what temptation means here. He says that temptation means test or trial. That's a situation that reveals how far you are able to go and avoid doing wrong. For example, with the driving test, which is designed to enable you to show that you can do everything right. It is, in a sense, a temptation. Now, any educational or training program must, of necessity, include periodic tests for gauging progress. And in God's program for spiritual education and growth, the same applies. God does and must test us regularly to prove what is in us, and to show how far we've come. Why then, if temptation is beneficial, should we ask to be spared it? Well, J.I. Packer gives three reasons. First, whenever God tests us for good, Satan, the tempter, tries to exploit the situation for our ruin. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Secondly, he says the pressures in times of trial can be so appalling that no sane Christian can do other than shrink from them, just as they shrink from the thought of having cancer. For both reasons, Jesus was as right to start his prayer in Gethsemane with, "Father, remove this cup," as he was to end it with, "Yet not my will, but yours." He says, temptation is no picnic. But then he goes on to a third reason. Knowledge of our own proven weakness, thick-headedness, and all-around vulnerability in spiritual matters, and of the skill with which Satan exploits our strong and weak points alike, mixing frontal attacks and with our Christian integrity with tactics of infiltration and ambush, so that while avoiding one hazard, we constantly fall victim to another, compels us to cry out in humility and self-distrust, "Lord, if it be possible, please, no temptation." I really identify with that. And then he moves into asking us to watch and pray. When Jesus found his disciples asleep in Gethsemane, he said, "Watch and pray." Why? "So that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing to do what the Lord wills, but the flesh or the human nature is weak." The word "watch" here suggests a soldier on guard, alert for the first signs of enemy attack. We watch against temptation by noting what situation, company, and influences expose us to it, and avoiding them whenever we can. As Luther said, "You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair." And then the term "pray" points to the kind of prayer Jesus has just made in the garden, prayer for strength to do what one knows is right in the face of temptation. The conclusion of the matter is this: for good and necessary reasons connected to our Christian growth, we shall not be spared all temptation. But if we ask to be spared and watch and pray against Satan's attempts to exploit situations for our downfall, we shall be tempted less than we might have been, and will find ourselves able to cope with temptation when it comes. So do not be unrealistic in not budgeting for temptation, nor foolhardy enough to court it. But when it comes, do not doubt God's power to deliver from the evil it brings, and to keep you from stumbling, as it says in Jude 24, as you pick your way through it. When you are not conscious of temptation, pray, "Lead us not into temptation." And when you are conscious of it, pray, "Deliver us from evil," and you will live. Will you pray with me? O Lord, we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit that you would lead us not into temptation, but you would deliver us from evil. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to keep God's law as we wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us to eternal life. Help us to be merciful to those who doubt. Help us to save others from the fire. Help us to show fear and mercy mixed. And then, as it says in Jude chapter 1, verse 24, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen."